بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we spoke about, or we gave an introduction to this blessed treatise called Rifqan Ahl Sunnati bi Ahl Sunnah, gentleness, O people of the Sunnah, with the people of the Sunnah. And an introduction to the author, Shaykh Al-Alama Abdul Muhsin Ibn Hamd Al-Abbad Al-Badr Hafidhullah. And also, I spoke about why the Shaykh authored this treatise and to whom it was directed. And in this lesson, which is still a muqaddima, an introduction to the actual book, which we will start reading next week, bi-ithnillah, we're going to read some of the introduction that the Shaykh wrote and specifically explain the title Rifqan Ahl Sunnah. Who does the word Ahl Sunnati refer to? And this is because Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah, it's a term which is used by a lot of people, used by everybody, and at the same time it's a term from which people are exited. So people will say regarding themselves, we are Ahlul Sunnah. And perhaps a person who is from Ahlul Sunnah, it will be said about him that this person is not from Ahlul Sunnah. And in reality, everything which is said regarding Ahlul Sunnah, this term, it also applies to the term Ahlul Hadith. And it also applies to the term As-Salafiyun or Salafi. Same meanings apply, and the same principle applies to all of these terms. And the Shaykh Hafidhullah, in his muqaddimah, in his introduction, he mentions the unfortunate state we find ourselves in, the youth and the people of the Sunnah. He said, "Wa inna mimma yu'safu lahu fi hadha zaman," that which is unfortunate in this era, in this time, ما حصل من بعض أهل السنة, is that what has occurred from some of the people of the Sunnah. من وحشة واختلاف, i.e. the differences and the isolation between each other. مما ترتب عليه انشغال بعضهم ببعض, and this has resulted in these people being occupied with each other. How are they occupied with each other? تَجْرِيحًا وَتَحْذِيرًا وَهَجْرًا, warning against each other, criticizing each other, and boycotting each other. وَكَانَ الْوَاجِبِ, however, the obligation upon us is what? أَن تَكُونَ جُهُودُهُمْ جَمِيعًا مُوَجَّهَةً إِلَىٰ غَيْرِهِمْ, that all of their efforts should be directed are those who are not from amongst them. I.e. our efforts in terms of warning and refuting should be towards others. Min al-kuffar, such as the disbelievers. Wa ahl al-bid'ah, and the people of innovation. Al-munawi'een li ahli sunnah, those who show animosity to ahli sunnah. And the obligation upon us is وَأَنْ يَكُونُوا فِيمَا بَيْنَهُمْ مُتَآلِفِينَ مُتَرَاحِمِينَ, that between us, we should be people who are united, loving and having mercy for each other. يُذَكِّرُ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا بِرِفْقٍ وَلِينَ, and that when we need to correct each other's mistakes, when we need to remind each other and admonish each other, then this is done with rifq and lean. This is done with gentleness and leniency. He mentions that regarding this treatise, Rifqan Ahl Sunnah, he said, وَلَمْ أُرِدْ بِأَهْلِ السُنَّةِ, that when I mention the term Ahlul Sunnah in this treatise, I don't mean Al-Firq wal-Ahzab al-Munharifa. I'm not referring to the deviated sects and groups. Amma kana alayhi Ahlul Sunnati wal-Jama'ah. Those who oppose what Ahlul Sunnati wal-Jama'ah are upon. And then he alludes to certain groups. He said, كَالَّذِينَ ظَهَرَ حِزْبُهُمْ مِنَ الْمَنْصُورَةِ فِي مِصْرِ. Like that group, that deviated group who arised from Al-Mansura in Egypt, referring to Al-Ikhwan Al-Muslimin. And he also said, and not like those people in London, he said, فِي لَنْدَنْ أَلَّذِينَ يُحَارِبُونَ أَهْلَ السُنَّةِ. Those who oppose the people of the Sunnah, and those who criticize the scholars. And also, when the Shaykh is talking about Rifqan Ahl Sunnah, he is not referring to Alladhina Zaharat Da'watuhum fi Dehli fil Hind. Those people whose da'wah appeared in India. وَهِيَ لَا تَخْرُجْ عَنْ سِتِّ نُقَاطٍ. Those people whose da'wah is based upon 6 points or 6 principles. Referring to Jama'at At-Tabligh. So therefore, this advice, it is for Ahlul Sunnah. وَإِنَّ فِي هَذِهِ الْمُقَدِّمَةِ. And in this introduction, أُؤَكِّدُ الْوَصِيَّةِ. I reiterate and emphasize the advice لِشَبَابِ أَهْلِ السُنَّةِ. To the youth of Ahlul Sunnah. أَنْ يُعْنَوْ بِالْإِشْتِغَالِ بِالْعِلْمِ. That we should focus our efforts in seeking knowledge. And يُشَغِّلُوا أَوْقَاتَهُمْ بِتَحْصِيلِهِ. And that all of our time should be in seeking knowledge. And also in this introduction, he mentions some contemporary books or some contemporary scholars that a person can refer to. And this is often a question which is asked, especially by brothers who come new into the religion, they accept Islam. Or, if it's correct to say, they weren't practicing Islam or the Sunnah, now they are. They're new to Salafiyya, and they want to know who are the scholars. Because now there's many personalities on the internet, on YouTube. Some of those personalities are from Ahlul Sunnah, and others are not. So a person who is like that, and he doesn't know which scholars he should turn to, then he says, وَمِنْ أَهَمِّ كُتُبِ الْعُلَمَاءَ الْمُعَاصِرِينَ. That the most important, or from the most important books of the contemporary scholars, التي ينبغي أن يعنوا بقراءتها, which people should attach importance to reading them, is مجموع فتاوى شيخنا إمام أهل السنة والجماعة في زمانه, is the compilation of the fatawa of our Shaykh, the Imam of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah in his time, الشيخ عبد العزيز بن عبد الله بن باز رحمه الله وفتاوى اللجنة الدائمة, and also the fatawa of the permanent committee of scholars, ومؤلفات شيخنا العلامة الشيخ محمد الأمين الشنقيطي, and also the works of our شيخ العلامة الشيخ محمد الأمين الشنقيطي. He also mentions ومؤلفات العالمين الكبيرين, and the books of the two great scholars, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen and Sheikh Muhammad Nasir al-Din al-Albani rahimahumullah. And in reality, this is the same advice I always give to brothers who are new to the religion, new to the Sunnah, when they ask which scholars should we take to. Or for example, you find on the internet scholars from amongst Ahlul Sunnah, and this one's refuting against that one, and this one's being criticized. If you're confused, then go back to those major senior scholars, the ones who have even passed away, who are contemporary to us, who there's no difference regarding. Namely, Shaykh Ibn Baz, or Shaykh Ibn Uthameen, or Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahumullah. And just reading just their books, and listening just to their cassettes, even the one which is in English, which is only a small part of their books, it'll take up your whole life. If every day a person dedicated, for example, an hour, 5 to 10 pages of reading the fatawa of Shaykh Ibn Baz, Ibn Uthaymeen, Wal Albani, then, Wallahu A'lam, along with the Quran, which is more important, of course, maybe your whole life would go and you wouldn't finish the fatawa. So in reality, there's no reason for anybody to enter into any fitan. That in itself, alhamdulillah, now it's easy, it's in English, it's on the internet, PDFs, apps, all of it is available. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Min husni islamil mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni." That from the goodness of a person's Islam is to leave alone that which does not concern him. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Ihris ala ma yanfa'uk." Concentrate on those things which are going to benefit you. So we don't need to occupy ourselves with every new fitna which occurs in any of the lands. The people who will deal with these fitan, alhamdulillah, they are there, i.e. the ulama. As for us, we need to learn the basics of our religion. So it's clear from the title and from bits of his introduction that the Shaykh, when he wrote this introduction, he was referring to Ahlul Sunnah. And we need to know who are Ahlul Sunnah. What is the meaning of Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah? Because Ahlul Sunnah, this term, it refers to a group of people who have certain principles by which they are known. Certain distinguishable characteristics by which they are known. And those who oppose these usul, these indicators and these principles, then they have opposed the people of the Sunnah. And it's important for us to know who the people of the Sunnah are. Why? So we know firstly who to take knowledge from. By knowing the signs of the people of the Sunnah, we then know, okay, this scholar is from the people of the Sunnah, we should take knowledge from him. And Imam Muslim, Al-Imam Muslim, rahimullah, he mentions in his Muqaddimah, in his introduction to Sahih al-Muslim, he mentions a narration from Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, from the Tabi'een. He said, "Lam yakunu yas'aluna anil isnad," that the scholars of the Salaf, initially, they never used to ask about the isnad, meaning the people in the chain of narration. They never used to ask, who narrated this information to you? فَلَمَّا وَقَعَتِ الْفِتْنَةِ. However, when the fitna occurred, meaning when invasions started to spread, قَالُوا سَمُّوا لَنَا رِجَالَكُمْ. Then they would say, name us who the men are. Meaning this hadith which you are narrating, tell us who did you narrate it from? And who did he narrate it from? And who are your scholars? فَيُنظَرُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَيُؤْخَذْ عَنْهُمْ. So, Ahlul Sunnah, they are looked towards and it is taken from them. Our knowledge is taken from them. وَيُنظَرُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْبِدَعِ. And also the people of innovation, they are looked towards. فَلَا يُؤْخَذْ عَنْهُمْ. However, knowledge is not taken from them. And he said, إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمِ دِينَ. In famous narration, he said, إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمِ دِينَ. That this knowledge which you are learning and which you are reading, this is the religion. فَانْظُرُوا عَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. So look at the one, analyze the person, investigate the person from whom you are taking knowledge. And this is even more important today. Ibn Sirin, rahimullah, he said this at the time of the Salaf, where the people of the Sunnah, the scholars of the Sunnah, the scholars of Tawheed were a lot, and the people of innovation were the minority. Today we find, if you enter just onto YouTube, for example, the personalities who are qualified and unqualified are many and many in number. So we are more in need of investigating the people we are taking knowledge from. And now everybody speaks on Facebook or YouTube or whatever the mean is, and people are being misguided because they easily take knowledge from this person. I've advised my students in my class, sometimes when I give them homework, they'll just go on Google and they'll just type the question on Google. And the first result which comes up, they click on that and that's the answer that they write. And whoever looks and investigates now on the results which are coming up, often even in English and also in Arabic now, the results which are coming up at the beginning are often websites from the Shia and the Qadianiyya. And it's something which I always advise my students. I say to them, look, don't just go and give me or click on the first website which comes up on Google. Most likely it's going to be by the Shia, the Qadianiyya, and it's called www.islamicinformation.com. Very general names. So this is something which has to be investigated and checked, and we have to know who the scholars are and who the people of the knowledge are. Before we go into the usul of Ahlul Sunnah, before we go into the principles of Ahlul Sunnah by which they are distinguished, there's three matters that I want you to pay attention to. And that is, how do we know that a person is from Ahlul Sunnah? If we don't know his usul, we haven't studied that yet, how do we know that a person is from Ahlul Sunnah? Firstly, and this is the basis, مَا يَظْهَرْ مِنْ دِينِهِ وَعَمَلِهِ وَأَقْوَالِهِ. Firstly, you look at the actions and the statements of that person. If the actions and the statements of that person agree with the Sunnah, then good is hoped for him and he's a person of the Sunnah. And if his actions and his statements and his efforts oppose the Sunnah, then we know that this is a bad indicator and that he's not from the people of the Sunnah. So if you see a person, for example, you know a person, now he doesn't have any recommendations from the scholars, and you don't know where he studied, but you've seen books of his, you've heard cassettes of his, you've read articles of his, and in all of this, he's spreading Tawheed, spreading the Sunnah, praising the ulama, the people of the Sunnah. He refutes innovation, he refutes shirk, he spreads iman and so on and so forth. It's hope, goodness for this person, and that he is a person of the Sunnah. So this here, either actions and the statements of the individual himself, this is the asal. This is the base that we base all of this upon. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, he said, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ أَلْقَى إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامُ لَسْتَ مُؤْمِنًا. Do not say to a person who says the salam to you, i.e. the greeting of Islam, embraces Islam in front of you, don't say to him, lasta mu'min, that you are not a believer. Because that which is upon you is to look at his action and his statements. In front of you, he has made this statement of as-salam, so don't accuse him of not being a believer or being a non-Muslim. And whenever we know and we are certain about the statements and the actions and the efforts and the speech of a particular person, and now we know for certainty that he's spreading the Sunnah, he's upon Salafiyya, he's upon the Tawheed, then it's not allowed for us to give a ruling opposite to this. Doesn't matter what the people say. Meaning, even if we had a scholar, a reputable scholar, and he warned against an individual, but we know with certainty from living with this person, from his statements and his actions over the years and his writings and his articles and his books, that all of these things which I mentioned, he praises Ahlul Sunnah, he accompanies Ahlul Sunnah, he spreads At-Tawheed, warns against Ashirk and so on and so forth, then we don't look to what that scholar has said. Perhaps there's a misunderstanding, perhaps something was translated for that scholar which was incorrect, as long as we know the statements of this person. And Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, in his Sahih, in Kitab al-Shahadat, he mentions a statement of Umar radiallahu anhu. He says, he was talking about when previously revelation used to come, and sometimes the revelation would condemn a person or praise a person. But now that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has passed away, there's no more revelation. The speech of a scholar, the statement of a scholar, the criticism or praise of a scholar of another person is not revelation anymore. Umar radiallahu anhu said, وَإِنَّمَا نَأْخُذُكُمْ الْآنَ بِمَا ظَهَرَ لَنَا مِنْ أَعْمَالِكُمْ. That now that revelation has finished, then the only thing by which we judge you is your apparent actions. Whatever from your actions are apparent, then that's the only thing we judge you by. فَمَنْ أَظْهَرَ لَنَا خَيْرًا أَمَّنَّاهُ وَقَرَّبْنَاهُ. So whoever shows to us goodness, i.e. a person, in the apparent we only know goodness from this person, then we trust him and we bring him close to us. وَلَيْسَ لَنَا مِنْ سَرِيرَتِهِ شَيْءٍ. And as for his secret actions or his secret beliefs which he is hiding in his heart, then we have nothing to do with this. We can only judge a person by that which is apparent. Those things which he hides and which he intends, we do not know. Allah yuhasibuhu fi sariratihi. Allah will hold him to account with regard to his secrets. وَمَنْ أَظْهَرَ لَنَا سُوءًا. And also the opposite is true. That whoever's evil is apparent and manifest to us, لَمْ نَأْمَنْهُ وَلَمْ نُصَدِّقْهُ. Then we don't accept him, we don't trust him, and we don't testify for him. وَلَوْ قَالْ. Even if the person said, إِنَّ سَرِيرَتَهُ حَسَنًا. But his intention is good. The intention is not looked at. What is looked at in order to judge a person is, what did he say? Was it in agreement with the sunnah or in conflict with the sunnah? Look at his actions, his books, his writings. Is it in agreement with the sunnah or is it in contradiction to the sunnah? As for his intention, this is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perhaps he had a good intention, Allah forgives him. But as for us, then no. Also, it is narrated that Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Man khada'ana billahi in khada'ana bihi." That whoever deceives us by Allah, then we will be deceived. And what he meant by this is, if we have a person, and what we know about him, and in front of us, is that he's a person of the sunnah. But inside him, let's say he was hiding innovations, but we did not know. So he has now deceived us by the sunnah, by Allah, by Quran. Umar used to say, whoever deceives us with this, then we will be deceived. Because upon us isn't to search and investigate what's in his heart. The only thing which is upon us is that we look to that which is apparent. Now, yes, if a person comes to you and you don't know him in terms of his statements and his actions and following the sunnah and so on and so forth, then it is permitted for a person to test that person. You want to take knowledge from this person, you want to accompany this person, but you don't know anything about him. Then you can test that person. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did with the jariya, with the young slave girl in Sahih Muslim. He said to her, "Ain Allah, where is Allah?" And she said, "Fis-sama," above the heavens. He said, "Man ana?" Who am I? She said, "Rasulullah, you are the messenger of Allah." Then he said, "I'tiqha fa innaha mu'mina." Free her because she is a believer. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she tested her. The problem which is occurring nowadays, or the misunderstanding amongst many of the youth with this issue of imtihan, of testing, is that they are testing people they know to be upon the sunnah. This is the issue. So we don't disagree with imtihan. In of itself, we don't disagree with testing the people. But as for testing a person who you know is from the people of the sunnah, you know who is he is upon at-tawheed, what are you testing him for? Just to catch him out on something. This is the first and the main basis by which we know the manhaj or the religion of a person, the methodology of a person. If we don't know of his statements and his actions, then the second thing is we look at the statements of the scholars. So has a scholar criticized a particular individual? We stay away from. We don't know about him. Has a scholar praised this individual, recommended him for teaching? We take knowledge from this person. So it's upon the common people who don't know that they look to the statements of a scholar who has knowledge. He knows regarding criticisms, he knows regarding people, somebody who is known for justice, for taqwa, for being truthful, for not being too harsh, for not delving into these things too much, and then we trust in that which he says. However, there's two important points that we have to note regarding this, because again, there's a lot of mistakes and problems which are occurring amongst the Shabab. So for example, there'll be a person, and we know this person is from the Sunnah. However, they'll say, "Sheikh Fulan has warned against him." Okay, why did the Sheikh warn against him? What was the criticism? Is there any proof? What was the mistakes he made? We don't know, but the Sheikh has warned against him. And yet what we know about this individual is that he's a person of the Sunnah. So it'll be said, for example, that this person, Sheikh Fulan said, he insults the companions. And we've known him maybe for 20 years, and we've never ever known him to insult the companions. Rather, we know the opposite. that he praises the companions, he exalts the companions, he refutes those who insult the companions. So this is something that we find a lot. The first point is that the statement of a scholar is a qarina and it isn't a bayina. حكم العالم قول العالم قرينة وليست بينة. Meaning, the statement of a scholar with regards to criticism or praise, it isn't an established evidence within itself. It isn't a bayina, but it's a qarina. It is an external factor by which we can possibly make a judgment. So the statement in of itself isn't an evidence. And that's it, that's the final ruling now. No, it's just a factor which we can use to possibly make a judgment. Meaning, if a scholar criticizes somebody, now we have with us a qarina. We have with us a factor which is now going to influence our judgment about this person. Already, there's some suspicion regarding this individual because we have the criticism of a scholar regarding this person. There must be some reason there why the scholar has criticized him. So now we have a qarina with us. But this qarina, it isn't absolute. So if we now, let's say we investigate and we looked into what the scholar said about this individual, and then we realize actually the scholar was wrong about this individual. Maybe the scholar didn't understood what he had said. Or maybe this person said something in English, and when it was translated into Arabic in front of that sheikh, it was slightly exaggerated. Or perhaps the sheikh based his ruling upon this person purely upon the information that was fed and given to him. Or perhaps, and this happens a lot, a general question was asked to the sheikh. Sheikh, what do you say about somebody who says XYZ and he does XYZ? And therefore the scholar, he gives a general answer. That whoever says this, then this is the ruling. And then what happens is, people then take that clip, for example, and they'll say, Sheikh Fulan, he speaks about Fulan ibn Fulan. So they specified the statement of a scholar which was actually general, had nothing to do with this individual. The Sheikh was speaking hypothetically about a situation in which somebody does X, Y, Z. These people have now specified that general statement. So if we see these various factors, then this will now go against the qarina. It will go against what the sheikh had said. The bayina, the absolute evidence, is the statements and the actions of that person himself. So like I said, if we have this qarina, we have this statement from a scholar criticizing somebody. Now there's a level of suspicion. But we realize actually what we know about this person is, even though this scholar is one of our scholars and we respect him and he's reputable and he's trustworthy, but what he has said about this individual isn't true because we know this individual. We don't accept what that scholar has said anymore. We still maintain respect for that scholar, but we don't accept that. Or for example, that which he has been informed was actually an exaggeration, a twisting of the word of that brother. Or for example, there are other scholars who know this individual personally, who have sat with him, and they are praising him and they don't accept that criticism. So in all of these cases, this qarina, we don't act by it. The second point regarding this is that jarh wa ta'dil, the science of criticizing and praising and refuting, it isn't allowed for us to specify it to a small number of scholars. That we say, for example, that only Sheikh Fulan, Fulan, Fulan and Fulan, only their statements are accepted when it comes to manhaj. And this is something which is common. That the manhaj, the methodology or criticism and praising, it's restricted to only 4 or 5 or 6 individuals. Up until some of them will say, that as for the issues of Salah and Tahara and Fiqh, no problem. Sheikh Ibn Baz, Sheikh Albani, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, no problem. As for manhaj and individuals and criticism, then only 4 or 5 mashayikh in Medina or Makkah or wherever they may be. So it's not allowed for us to restrict these sciences to a small number of individuals. And then if, for example, we don't know the statements and the actions of a person, and we don't know what the scholars have said regarding this person, then the third avenue by which we can know regarding this person is that we look at his companionship. Who is he accompanying? When he shares a platform, we don't know anything about what he's saying at the moment. He's new to us. And neither do we know that the scholars have praised him or criticized him. But let's look at his dawah efforts. So if we see him sharing platforms of the people of innovation, the people of ghulu, the people of shirk, the people of bid'ah, then we know that we stay away from this person until it becomes clear to us. And again, this is a qareena and it isn't a bayina. Meaning perhaps this individual, for whatever reason, maybe he was forced to be in a particular position. Maybe, Allahu A'lam, as part of his job, the principal of the university, the Amir of that town, he ordered him to take part in this conference, for example. And yet he was actually from the people of the Sunnah. So this is now a qareena. Why did he do this? But if it becomes clear to us that, look, he was a person of the Sunnah, but he made a mistake, or he was forced, or he was pressurized, then he is excused. And many amongst the Salaf, like Al-Awza'i and others, they would say, مَنْ سَتَرَ عَنَّا بِدْعَتَهُ لَمْ تُخْفِ عَلَيْنَا أُلْفَتُهُ. That whoever hides his innovations from us, he cannot hide his companionship from us. A person we don't know anything about, whether he's from the people of the Sunnah or the people of the innovation, but we know who he's hanging around with. We know who he sits with. We know who he gives da'wah with. We know who he shares the platform with. We always see his name in the same events, on the same posters with the people of innovation. We know this is now a qareena, this is now a factor which will influence our judgment regarding this person. So we look at his companions, those who he sits with. So if we find a person and he's always around the people of the Sunnah and he accompanies the people of the Sunnah and he spreads the statements of Ahlul Sunnah, he loves Ahlul Sunnah, he praises the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah, he becomes angry when the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah are insulted, then goodness is hoped for this person. And if the opposite is known, that he sits and accompanies and praises and broadcasts the messages and the articles of the people of innovation, then we pay attention and we take our caution regarding this person. So these three steps, by this we know, or we can know the manhaj or the methodology of a person. Firstly, by knowing his own statements, his own actions, his own efforts. Secondly, if we don't know this, then we look at what the scholars have said regarding him. And this is a qareena. And then if we don't know what the scholars have said, then we look at the company that this person takes. And it has to be in this order. So just because we have a person, for example, we know him to be upon the Sunnah, we know him for 10 years and we know he calls to the Sunnah. But he, for example, for whatever reason, a scholar has spoken against him. We don't take that straight away, because we know this individual to be upon the Sunnah. Or, for example, he shared a particular platform with some of the people of innovation. It's a mistake which he did, but we don't say that he isn't from Ahlul Sunnah anymore. Why? Because we know from his statements and his actions that he is from the people of the Sunnah. I think we leave it with that, inshallah, this lesson. And next lesson we'll go through the usul or the principles by which the people of Sunnah are known by. And then inshallah we'll study the text. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.